Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Time for This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantis, and we'll start with the big week for Rahm Emanuel this week in 2011. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Bob. Rahm Emanuel sworn in, you're right, this week, 2011, as Chicago's 55th mayor. He took the oath of office, if you recall, in Millennium Park's Pritzker Pavilion. He had been a former Illinois congressman. He was former chief of staff at the Obama White House. And not only did his family and friends and political friends locally show up, but Joe Biden, the vice president, flew in for this moment in time. And interesting to go back in time, Bob, if you think about this moment in city politics. Mayor Daley had been mayor for 22 years at this point, and a popular mayor overall, but there was rising sentiment at this time that the Daley administration was just not working for the people anymore. City finances were under pressure. We had that infamous parking deal that had just been cut. The crime was an issue. Jobs, school reform, all top of mind for voters. And we pulled a clip here from Mayor-elect Rahm Emanuel at his swearing-in ceremony in Millennium Park 15 years ago this week.
And he may trade in his CNN job for a presidential run. What do you think?
Yeah, he can re-rack that speech and just substitute country for city.
Maybe
work in some of that new material because, there is a lot of speculation he will be running for president, Bob. So we'll see.
We were talking here recently about the anniversary of that famous Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game. But May 18, 2012 was another magic moment for Kerry Wood, wasn't it?
Yeah, and for Cubs fans, just emotional. Kerry Wood stepped off the mound this week in 2012 for the very last time, and the crowds at Wrigley just rose to their feet. I don't know if you were there, Bob, but very emotional. He's throwing out his first pitch. Everybody's shouting, Kerry. It was the Crosstown Classic, and they just roared. You know, this was someone who, as you mentioned, flashback to 1998 and his rookie season, the 20-year-old who tied a major league record. On his fifth start in the majors, striking out 20 Houston Astros in a single game. We know that he had been tested by injuries over the years, but his love for Chicago never died, and in the way he gave back to the city never died either. He was really a loved figure. Here's Kerry Wood a few years ago reflecting back on his Cubs career, and when he was asked about, you know, his favorite moments, what stands out to you?
I remember watching his last game, and then his son ran out onto the field and hugged him. That was fantastic.
It was so beautiful. And, you know, the Wood family has just been, just their family foundation has really given back a lot over the years, as you know, Bob. The school supply campaign they give in the fall, the winter clothing drive they do, and then they provided the $5 million to build that incredible ballpark over on Addison right next to my alma mater, Lane Tech. Incredible place to play baseball for generations.
So, yep, nice really little awesome field there. This is a big week for the Wizard of Oz and Chicago's role in that history.
It's kind of cool to go back and think 1900 was the year, Bob. Chicago's L. Frank Baum released one of the most famous classic works of literature of all time, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, he called it. And he was living on the West Side in Humboldt Park at the time, struggling journalist, small-time publisher. He had tried so many careers over the years, like raised fancy chickens for a while. He sold axle grease. He was a door-to-door salesman for cookware. And he never really found success, but now here he was in his 40s. And while living with his wife and four sons, he published this work. And interesting to note, Bob, too, that he had this very vivid imagination, but Chicago inspired him. They say the Emerald City of Oz was inspired by the White City of Chicago, built for the Columbian Exposition World's Fair 1893. That was just 7 years before he published The Wizard of Oz. So if you think about that, it's kind of interesting. Book was an instant success. The fairy tales, nothing like the fairy tales at the time. This was the female-led character, Dorothy, the heroine. And the whole story was just about finding a place, your place in the world. So really relatable theme, and probably relatable even for L. Frank Baum himself. But just think about all the iterations over the years, Bob, you know, from the Judy Garland original movie to the stage productions and concerts to The Wiz, that spinoff movie, and then Wicked, a multi-billion dollar prequel story. I just saw The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere in Vegas. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Well, this week in 1900, it all started when it was released here. And you can go to Oz Park and see the statues. It was this week in 2009 that Mr. T was singing at Wrigley Field. I pity the fool who criticizes him, Anna.
Yeah, you couldn't. You really weren't allowed to. I mean, I think about it, Bob, and, you know, there are great seventh-inning stretch singers, and there are not-so-great seventh-inning stretch singers. And then there's Mr. T. I can't even decide what category he's in, because he didn't exactly sing it the way the song goes. He kind of did it at his own pace and style. He was shouting most of it and really challenging the organist to keep up the whole time, even changed a couple of the words, too. It was total chaos, and the crowds at Wrigley loved it. So maybe they were just afraid to boo him, like you say, Bob. I don't know. But here's a clip to remember this week, 2009. Mr. T singing the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah.
I bet he's the Pirates.
Yeah, he was such a sweet guy, too, if you ever spent any time with the guy. But his image was rough and tough, wasn't it?
Yeah. And just an incredible story of, you know, raising the Robert Taylor homes and just built himself up as a club bouncer to make his way into Hollywood, Bob. An incredible story.
Well, it was 26 years ago this week that everybody was excited about a Field Museum exhibit, weren't they?
Probably the most we have been in history. I don't know. It's pretty close, if not. The largest, most complete T-Rex ever discovered was unveiled this week, 2000, at the Field Museum, Bob. And the crowds were gathered out to see her, all the dignitaries and the special folks had flown in for it. She was 12 feet long, 42 feet long, 12-foot head, razor-sharp teeth, and 67 million years old, but was so incredibly well-preserved. Sue was famously named for the fossil hunter Sue Hendrickson, who's from the Chicago area, grew up in Munster, and spent time in Chicago as well. Such a fascinating backstory, too, because her exploration team was packing up and leaving town, and she decided to stay behind to look in one more spot out at the South Dakota dig site. That's when she discovered Sue. So much drama, though, before Sue was brought to Chicago. There were legal battles over who owned her, and someone went to jail. But in the end, it came down to a very fierce bidding war at a Sotheby's auction house auction. And here's a clip from that, in addition to Mayor Daley and Sue Hendrickson herself, doesn't speak that much on camera, both present at the at the unveiling at the Field Museum.
Yeah, Sue's still here, isn't she?
She's still there. They moved her upstairs to a different home, but still around, still the dinosaur, the most preserved dinosaur, and the most complete and largest dinosaur ever found. So
finally, we have frozen food history in Chicago, May of 1953.
Do you like the frozen pound cakes, the Sara Lee frozen pound cakes, Bob?
I don't know if I ever tried that. I used to eat the Sara Lee cheesecake. Yeah, one time, many years ago, during my single days, I came home and I ate an entire Sara Lee cheesecake with my coat still on.
Hopefully you thawed it out, because I can just imagine the bachelor guy that comes home and just eats it frozen. The interesting thing about this whole thing, Bob, is that this was a dessert like invention that changed everything. It's a guy, Charles Lubin from Chicago, who was a baker, who said, "Hey, everyone loves my cheesecakes. Everybody loves my pound cakes. Now what am I going to do? How can I distribute them more like mass, like get them out there to more people, because they would spoil, they didn't travel so well." So he invented this technique where you could freeze them and that they would thaw out and taste just as delicious. They didn't taste all freezer burned or whatever that taste is. But that discovery turned his Sara Lee into a global brand. I remember we always had a Sara Lee frozen cheesecake or pound cake in our freezer in case company showed up, so my mom would thaw it out or whatever. But like they're still in grocery stores today, still a popular bestseller, still in people's freezers today, I'm sure, all across WGN's listenership.
I don't know about
they might have one in there.
I don't know about the pound cake, but now I need a cheesecake again. But this time I'll take my coat off. Thank you, Anna.
Yes.
Talk to you next week.